right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are. Well, here I am. Yep, just me. Everyone's favorite this week. Back to talk more Alone. Yes, I know it's been a little quiet here on the main feed. Not a lot going on in the Survivor world right now, but not too far off at this point from the beginning of the next season. So I'm sure things will be picking up here in no time. Welcome back into the Alone Zone. We continue on here with our season 8 coverage of Alone. Did a podcast earlier this season, maybe a month or so ago, talking through the first few episodes there. Back today to update those projections. I'm sure hit on some of the major things that have gone on through these last few weeks and just get some more Alone thoughts out there. I have continued rewatching some of the older seasons, so I have been very much myself in the Alone Zone here and happy to be back to get into even more of it. For anyone unfamiliar who is perhaps just so tapped out, pardon the Alone pun, on podcasts these days and just missed the sound of my voice for some unknown reason, welcome. Alone, for that type of person, is a reality show that is on the History Channel Thursdays at 9:30. Although randomly, I'm not sure if there may have been a very good reason for this. No episode this past week, which made it feel like a good time to come in here and recap. And Alone is, for anyone unfamiliar, absolutely crazy. It is what, as far as I'm concerned, at least, anyone signing up to go on Alone is out of their damn minds. But it is an outdoor survival show where people are stranded, in recent seasons at least, in the northern Canadian wilderness, although the location has been known to vary from time to time. And they are, as the title suggests, just completely by themselves for as long as they can stay out there. And there is a common misconception that there are like camera crews out there filming them. No, they are trained on how to use the cameras before they begin, and they film everything by themselves. They are 100% isolated. They have no idea how many of the 10 people that began the season are still out there at any point, and they either tap out when they've had enough, or from time to time, people will just lose too much weight, and it becomes a medical risk to leave them out there any further. And so you can get pulled for medical reasons as well, but those are the only two ways, at least that I know of so far, where people are eliminated from this, and just whoever can make it the longest wins $500,000 for the most part. There was one exception to that, but it is something that I got into over quarantine. Shout out to my friend Nick one more time for that recommendation. He gets mad at me if I go more than like 2 minutes into a podcast without giving him credit for that. So there you go. And anyone who hasn't checked it out yet, if you are, even if you're not, frankly, into the general premise of the show based on my description, like, I don't know that I would have thought that Alone would necessarily even be something that was appealing to me. I don't watch Survivor because I care even slightly about the survival element, but this show is fascinating and super addicting, at least in my experience. And again, the 8th season currently in the middle of airing on the History Channel Thursdays at 9:30, although you can catch up, and I would recommend you do so, on the older seasons across many various platforms. I believe it is the case that it's still on all of Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime. So whatever you got going on, I'm guessing you can find a way to stream some season, at least, of Alone. So yeah, I think with the general kind of setup out of the way, I will formally now issue the spoiler alert. Not only, I would imagine, will I be talking about what we've seen to this point on season 8, it's certainly within the realm of possibility that some stuff, some specifics that people may not want to know if they are not caught up on the older seasons may come up in this discussion, along the way. So be aware, if that is something that you would be averse to right around now, would probably be the time to tune out. The last time that we talked about this show, I'm going to meander just for another couple of seconds here in case anyone is slow to unplug their headphones or press pause or tell Siri to do whatever. I think this is sufficient. We're in the spoiler zone now. When we last left off, we were through, I don't know, maybe four or so. I think it was four or five episodes of this season. We had lost a couple of people up until that point, and we have subsequently now lost four more. We are down to our final four out here on Grizzly Mountain, and I don't know that we need to spend a ton of time necessarily on the specific stuff that has gone down week to week or why things didn't really work out for some of these people along the way. I will say, just as kind of a general note, not only about the people we've lost to this point, but certainly as well about the people who remain. I think this is a stellar cast full of really cool characters, and definitely don't want to make my kind of skimming over some of these people feel like it might suggest otherwise. I've been very much enjoying the group of contestants that they've had here on season eight. And so the last time we had spoken, we had already lost Jordan, I think, a week or two before that, and then we went on a run here just after I released that last podcast where we ended up having Michelle tap on day 21, Maine's own Michelle, shout out to her, and then also had a couple other people. I want to say, yes, I have it written down here, Matt tapped on day 22, Nate tapped on day 24, and as I mentioned, Jordan had just recently tapped, but that was all the way into day 19, even though it was a relatively early episode there. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about is just kind of the meta game on Alone. And I should probably preface this by saying it could have been a complete coincidence that we ended up losing four people in 5 or 6 days, whatever it is here. And this is certainly not the first time that sort of thing has happened, but I do think it is at least potentially interesting, and this is actually semi-related to an objection I had that I may or may not have voiced on a previous podcast about the 100-day format that we saw for season seven. But I do wonder, just given how strong a lot of the winning games in recent seasons have been, if I were at least in the shoes of these contestants, if I can try to get into the mind of the kind of person who would go on Alone, which may just be a complete fool's errand for someone like me in the first place, but I could very easily see it being the case that these people and many others on seasons before them very, very justifiably feel like they can go out there and hack it on Alone, and they do a good job and feel relatively good through the early stages, but get to a certain point, and I'm wondering if this kind of like day 19 through day 24 run that we went on may have just like been the tipping point on this season in a few people's minds, where because specifically I'm going to say our season 7 and season 6 winners plural put on such respective clinics in the big game department, and just the overall resourcefulness and mental fortitude it took, that people on subsequent seasons now maybe finding themselves saying, right as we start transitioning from like the early stage to what I'm tentatively willing to call the middle stage of the game, okay, I've been out here, I've proven a lot to myself, but I'm not killing it by any stretch, and I may be actively suffering a great deal. And if I'm not out here getting big game and crushing it, the odds may at this point be high that someone else, and I don't know who it is, but at least one other person probably is doing pretty well in this sort of environment. And I do wonder if those two guys getting big game may play a role in how people on future seasons who do not get big game may approach the show, especially now that we've seen Clay in season 8 take down this buck. And once again, it looks like the person who got big game is in an excellent spot to do well, to say the very least. And in season 9, season 10, however long this franchise ends up running, and long may it continue, it would not shock me, I guess is the way I will frame it, to see people, and perhaps justifiably so, routinely tapping, in bulk may be too strong of a way of putting it, but several within a couple week span, once winter really starts setting in a bit, and it just kind of feels like the opportunity to get big game maybe diminishing, and along with, I'm sure, their energy and how the painfulness of missing everything back home, pain, I don't know, heard it both ways. I wonder just how the meta may evolve, and if we may see people who would have potentially stuck it out if it were like season 3 or 4 and there were no just kind of ludicrous precedents set by some of these people we've seen in more recent seasons once big game became a viable option. I will have my eye on that sort of effect potentially playing a role on a lot of future seasons. And hey, if it's not really playing a role, at least I can tell myself that it's playing a role whenever there's just coincidentally a few people who quit in a row. So big time win-win there. We lost, it felt like, quite a few people right in a row there. I'm going to say the most surprising one to me by quite a wide margin there was Nate, who it seemed like got food poisoning and was not able to just get himself back into the headspace that it seemed like he would probably need to be in to make it for the long haul. Otherwise, I think in the last podcast I did, the other three were indeed the bottom three people in my power rankings. So job well done there by me, I suppose. I'm sure everyone's really happy for me. And as I had mentioned somewhere near the top of this podcast, despite the fact that we, in at least a few of their cases, didn't get to see a ton from them, and I'm guessing they probably weren't all at least thrilled with how things ended up going on Alone, it was, even the people who we have lost to this point, I thought were really fun characters and interesting narrators along the way. So sad to see them go, but happy that we've got a, it seems like, really solid group left here. I guess the only other thing that I wanted to flag up just kind of in general terms before we get into the remaining people is this has got to be the best overall season for Shelters, right? Where even the people that went out early, it seemed like, and I mean super early, even before these four, the first guy whose name I want to say was Tim, but I can't really remember, and then the second guy, Jordan, for sure. Both of them seemed to have really, really strong, it appeared, pretty much winterized living spaces there, and plenty of those still remaining in particular, I think, are some of the all-time best Shelters that we've seen. I've been rewatching some of the earlier seasons, as I mentioned, and it is pretty wild what kind of evolution has gone on in that department, and I'm guessing that will continue to be a trend as well, and perhaps may have its own metagame of, like, someone out here has probably got a brilliant Shelter, the one that comes to mind for me, and spoiler alert here on season 7 is Rock House that Roland built. Like, that is a beautiful shelter, just like in objective terms, let alone for someone on a reality show with literally no resources whatsoever, where it's totally vital to make sure it's effective as possible. I would say that season 8, at least as far as I remember, has got to be the best overall shelter season, and wanted to give the whole cast credit for that. Although, I mean, this is obviously a ludicrously high bar against which to compare pretty much any contestant in the history of Alone. But in rewatching season 7, my God, was Rock House just all-time elite. That was one of the major takeaways I had from rewatching, is I for sure was not fully appreciating just how perfect that shelter was. So throwing that one out there, I guess, on the record, all-time number one shelter season for me now, season 8 thus far. So job well done there, gang. I guess let's get into season 8 and the 4 that we have remaining here, and to return to the power rankings format that I used the first time here for season 8, I guess let's do the same this time around as well. First, even before we dive into the specifics, feeling much better than I expected to about how those rankings actually shaped up based on what we've seen so far. I really was just kind of spitballing there, and ended up looking much smarter than I ever anticipated. So once again, I'm sure everyone really stoked on my behalf that that ended up being the case. Let's try not to punt it here this time around. Although I feel pretty good about the number one overall spot. I actually had him at number 2 last time. It was very close for me between Biko and Clay for the number 1 spot. I ended up going with Biko. This was at the point just before Clay ended up getting a buck and making me look like a complete fool. But I was and continue to be really liking Biko just as a character, and I'm rooting for him. And that was, I think, most of the reason that he won that kind of tiebreaker when he and Clay were my pretty clear top 2 candidates last time. I do not think I can get myself to that point this time around, though. Number 1 in the current power rankings has got to be Clay. Not only more than carrying his weight as far as the greatest shelter season of all time is concerned, he's got a great one there for sure, but the biggest storyline of the season has got to be, at this point, can anyone overtake Clay? The question is not, is he the favorite? The question is, how much of a favorite is he, as far as I'm concerned? And I'm sure I will, at some point, find a highly scientific number to be dropping on you guys there. Hashtag equity. Got to get that into every reality TV podcast that we do. But with this buck that he found, I think it was literally like days after I posted that last podcast, brought it down, seemed to process and store the meat really efficiently. That was certainly a concern that I had as soon as I saw him get the buck, is that's certainly a major, major piece of the battle. But preventing these bears and other wildlife from taking your buck kill is also, I'm guessing, no small order there. But he did seem to be channeling a lot of what we saw out of Roland last season with that immaculate kind of meat locker that he had made. Looks like Clay has gone for a very similar model, and that appears to be effective at least to this point. So easy number 1 as things stand right now. I don't know how long a buck lasts a person. I'm not the guy to ask about that sort of thing. I'm sure they'll have some, or may have had some, very informative kind of infographics pop up on the lower third there. I love those. And furthermore, can't believe I've never said this before, but I don't think I have on any of these Alone podcasts. And I'm going to now stall for time as on a solo podcast, I try to Google something while I'm talking, because I want to find the right word for this. I love on Alone that they do the quotations at the beginning of the episodes, the kind of scene setting wisdom from days gone by and occasionally from Michael Scott that begin the episode. Those are always really cool. I have found the some of those quotes to be particularly moving. I'm a big fan of a lot that I have returned to over the year or so to just kind of motivate myself in difficult times. I'm not doing a good job, if you can't tell, of doing this Googling. But oh my God, this is a nightmare. You know what? We're gonna find out what the hell I'm looking for, and I'm going to take a quick break because I'm gonna just die if I don't if I go through all of this and then can't find the word that I'm looking for, because it's both killing me and would be such unsuspenseful podcasting. So I am gonna take a quick break. I mean, I guess for you guys it's gonna be immediate, and we will be back right now. Epigraphs. That is the word that I was looking for. I'm sure many were shouting it at their local podcast player. Epigraphs, of course. They use the same device on The Wire. I'm embarrassed for not remembering the word from just having read that Wikipedia so many times, but we eventually got there. For instance, I loved the Edmund Hillary quote that they used has really stuck with me. It is not the mountains we conquer, but ourselves. I really like that one. And the other that I really liked was, I think it was Voltaire, men argue, nature acts. Those are fundamental principles of life as far as I'm concerned. But either way, I forgot what I was talking about. I paused for too long to Google a word I already should have known. Regardless, Clay, I think, is roughly what we were getting into there. Hands down, number one. And honestly, I'm not rooting against Clay by any stretch. I am, though, kind of rooting for suspense. And I think it would be good for the show to have either someone else of the remaining four ends up getting big game two, or Clay, one way or another, ends up not winning. Because on the heels of season 6 and 7, where, setting aside the fact that I think both of those eventual winners probably would have been in good shape to win, even if they had not gotten big game along the way, I do worry that the average viewer, and I am, of course, not a filthy casual like the rest, I worry that 3 seasons in a row of it at least seeming like it may just come entirely down to who gets big game before, in air quotes here, not, this is me air quoting an audience member that perhaps doesn't even exist, but effortlessly waltzing to victory. I worry that it may come across that way, where you either get big game and win, or you don't, and the one person on your season who got big game gets the check. I don't know that that would necessarily be great for, or at least not best case scenario for the show. So no disrespect whatsoever to Clay. I'm not rooting against Clay the guy. I am, however, rooting for a different kind of storyline to play out just for the greater good of the show. But on all cards, it seems like Clay is out there absolutely crushing it. And furthermore, not that I think this matters a ton, and not that I even have like any kind of conclusive reads on this necessarily, but from an edgic perspective, like edit wise, gotta feel pretty good about Clay getting some just kind of random positive visibility sprinkled in pretty regularly. But the one that really stands out to me, and I'm sure they loved it whether he wins or loses as soon as they saw it, but the rainbow confessional. The Rainbow Confession? Kermit's new... So, all right, really dating myself with that one. We got that, like, pot of gold at the end of the Rainbow confessional from him to, like, I think wrap up an episode, and that's something I'm on the lookout for, is people, when the episode doesn't end in an elimination of some sort, getting the kind of cap on that week's footage where they just kind of look good as we wrap up this week's action. That is something that I feel like I have seen from winners in the past. So edgewise, Clay seems in a pretty strong spot as well there. As things stand right now, and it is very possible that some kind of fluke injury or he misses home or whatever makes me look like an idiot very, very quickly here. But I would, on August 3rd, 2021, based on what I've seen over these last few episodes and last few seasons, have a pretty hard time giving Clay anything less than like, man, I'm really trying to talk myself into going lower than like 80%, and I just can't bring myself to do it. Like, even 80% win equity feels almost conservative to me, but anything can happen out there, that's for sure. So there, I think for now, goes Clay. Let's move along to, actually, before we move along to anyone specific, I touched on this earlier with the people that we have lost to this point, but did want to take it a step further, even for the four that we have remaining here. We have Clay, Biko, Coulter, and Teresa still left out here. And for any of the four, whichever of the three of them don't end up winning, I would gladly take any or all of them back if they end up doing another second chance season or all-star season or whatever. All of them, I think, very strong candidates. If things don't end up going their way here this time around. So I wanted to say that. And furthermore, another thing that I can't believe I haven't brought up in a past podcast, although I guess I only had one opportunity before, but still feels like a huge oversight on my end not to flag up the post-tap interviews that we have been getting this season. Not quite the same as the Colby Donaldson post-game show that we would get pretty much every week last season. But I am loving seeing Nikki back. How about that? Nikki from season six, another person that I think would be a very strong choice for a second chance season. Although in talking a little bit off air about Alone with great friend of the podcast, co-host of the Challenge podcast that we have going on right here on this very feed, Brian Scally, who I knew was a big Nikki stan back during her first run and was excited to see what he thought about seeing her again, just even in this post-game capacity. We had briefly mentioned the idea of, oh, it'd be great to see her back. And he flagged up the possibility that now that she's like an employee of the History Channel or whatever the production company is, it may ironically be what's setting her back on potentially returning. That may be against some sort of law of TV. I don't know how any of it works, but Scally felt like that was worth mentioning to me. So I will mention it to the people as well. Just Scally is not a guy that you bet against. So would love to see her back. And incidentally, I did rewatch both season six and season seven, so may as well roll through some of the other people that would be good for a hypothetical like second chance to season against any of the people from this point out, as far as I'm concerned, that don't win here on season eight. Nikki would surely be on my list if she's eligible. How about definitely Wania from season six? Barry, I really liked on season six. He seemed really bummed to get pulled at the time that he did, and seemed to be doing a really strong job out there. I would love to see either of them back for sure for a second chance. And then from season seven, setting aside the numerous people that I would love to see back from the early years. And I think I did talk about that in the very first Alone podcast that I did, talking through each of those first six seasons. From season seven, which I haven't, I don't think, talked about in a ton of detail, at least yet, both Callie and Kylan, I think, got to be in the mix for sure, among others. They would be the top of my board there. So already I feel like a very strong stable of possible contenders for another second chance season if they ever did want to end up going that route. And incidentally, and this could be like a whole separate podcast by itself, I would love to see someday an all winners season, although that one could be very liable to go the full like calendar year maximum amount of time that they contractually sign up to be out there for. So yeah, with that out of the way, let's finally now get into these other contenders left out here on season eight. And again, well, I find it very difficult to look past Clay as an overwhelming frontrunner at this point. It's certainly very possible that something goes awry as far as Clay is concerned, and any of these three, I think, are at least not drawing dead by any stretch to wind up as our eventual winner here. But if I had to pick a number two contender, number one contender, number two over... it's weird to me that the number one contender is not the number one champ. All right, I guess it does make a ton of sense. They're the contender, not the champion. We'll save that whole discussion for Australian Survivor, I guess, someday. Either way, number two on my board, just to remove any ambiguity, with Clay being number one. I think I've explained that part enough. Biko, I'm going to say, who I had a lot of positive things to say about the first time around. He was number one on my board, and I still feel that way about most of the things that I thought he had going for him the first time. It doesn't seem like much of that is really slowing down. It's just Clay got a book, and that is extraordinarily difficult to contend with, if history is any indication there. But I'm not sure we've ever at least heard a contestant talk more about how willing they are to just suffer and starve for as long as they need to. He's repeatedly voiced the idea of, I'll lose 100 pounds if it comes down to it. We got to hear him talk about deliberately gaining as much weight as he possibly could before he came out here so that he would have maximum calories to just burn on days where he doesn't end up eating, which I'm guessing are adding up pretty quickly out here. Although he has, I think, recently gotten at least a fish or two, and so that may be something to be on the lookout for. But even beyond getting to talk about how willing he is to stay out there for as long as it takes, and there's just nothing that is going to make him press the button, while acknowledging that it is very possible that at a certain point they will say, Biko, your body's shutting down, we got to pull you as badly as you don't want to leave. I would say that is probably his most likely outcome as things stand right now, is him eventually just getting pulled whenever they deem the time has come. I continue to believe that he is not going to tap pretty much no matter what happens, barring some sort of like fluke injury, which maybe we are getting set up for. We've seen his ankle be an issue in recent weeks, but we have also seen Biko, and heard Biko, I guess, more accurately. We also saw it. We've seen and heard Biko talking about the twins that he is expecting back home very soon, and he has no real alternative as far as that goes other than winning this show. He quit his job to go out and be on Alone, and he is just all in on, I'm going to leave here with the money, or I'm not going to leave unless they pull me. And that is exactly what I want to hear out of an Alone contestant that I would be like betting on or whatever. Like, the ideal contestant on Alone is going to have that sort of mentality. There's nothing that is going to get me to press this button. And it's obvious. It feels obvious to say that, that is what you would be looking for in an alone player, but I'm somewhat surprised that, this is something we don't hear from more people more often. Either way, feels good to hear it coming from Biko, rooting for him still. I feel like he is a really fun character, a great narrator. Shelter, which is a huge factor for me, looks fine. It looks finished, looks winterized, looks, I'm not going to go so far as to say comfortable, but he seems like he is able to enjoy himself in relative terms in a space that big, and it seems like relatively warm for him as winter is setting in here. It is merely a matter of, can Biko and the extra weight that he put on make it long enough to outstarve Clay with a shed full of deer meat? As far as his like best case scenario goes, short of catching big game as things stand right now, I do think it's within the realm of possibility. Clay is not a very big guy and will eventually run out of that deer meat, or who knows what kind of wildlife could get in there. So I would say Biko would be my number two right now. And on the topic, by the way, of just kind of motivating himself to stay out there and never even consider pressing the button, barring like absolute disaster, I loved his move. I think he said it was like his father-in-law or his own father's idea of making his photo from home that he brought with him a photo of the job he used to have that he hated so much, to remind him of what he would have to go back to if he ends up pressing the button. I think that was both funny and a legitimately like strong tactical decision on his part. I like that a lot there. So there goes Biko. I did see that the upcoming episode is titled The Troll, and we have certainly heard Biko refer to his place as the Troll Cave, I want to say, and his homemade knife as the Troll Shiv. So I'm expecting a lot from Biko this coming week. Someone's going to be paying the troll toll. It's a matter of if it's going to be Biko or an animal or what's going on there, but we will find out soon. So there he goes at number two. Number three out of the four remaining, I think I got to go with Coulter at this point, just because Teresa, our last person left, certainly is no slouch out there. And I mean, no disrespect on any of these people's names, but literally anyone who has ever competed on this show, way beyond anything I could ever dream of actually doing myself, and tremendous amount of respect for anyone who even went out early, just for willingness to go out there at all, I think is hugely commendable. And by no means am I ever trying to like put anyone down for framing things in kind of relative terms, particularly as things pertain to like their situation versus Clay's situation as far as the remaining contestants go. But again, just for alone contestants in the first place to even make the cut is a huge deal there. And I'm very self-conscious about saying anything that could make it even ambiguously seem like I think I could do any better. I promise I could not make it 2 hours out there. So definitely want that on the record. But as I was saying a minute and a half ago about Teresa, my major concern about her is it seems like she is going to have to do at least one of outlasting Clay and all of the resources that he has, or outstarving, best case scenario, Biko and Coulter here, and just someone that small. I have some concerns about, despite the fact that it seems like her shelter is really looking great, a very creative shelter and visually appealing shelter, if nothing else. And seems to have resolved the smoke issue that I thought was going to be a much bigger deal, just because, again, to go back to the episode title, I think the episode was called Smoked. So when I saw her shelter taking on that much smoke, I thought, ooh, this could be the end of it for Teresa. But it looks like she's made it through there. It's merely just her running out of calories. It seems like probably a lot sooner than any of these other guys is why I would have her down at number four here. But going back to the place that I was trying to go, which is to Coulter at number three, it's a lot harder without Dom here to know when he should be interrupting me so I can catch my breath and refocus with where I want to go. But there goes Teresa at number four, out of order. Let's go back to Coulter at number three here, whose boat continues to impress. We saw the early stages of this, and at least as far as functionality goes, it seems like the boat is a complete home run. I'm willing to say the best boat that I can remember seeing, at least in the history of Alone. The issue is just, it doesn't seem like, at least, he's bringing in as many fish as either he had hoped to or as I would imagine one probably needs to compete with the deer that Clay has. The buck, a buck is a deer, right? All right. Like I said, not an outdoors guy. We'll table that debate for another day. One way or the other, I do worry about Clay. Excuse me, about Coulter from a caloric intake standpoint as things stand right now. And maybe that'll turn around. I don't know what the prime time of the year is for the salmon to be migrating to his area or whatever. Maybe he can very quickly turn this around, but it does seem like running out of calories and potentially the temperature dropping substantially could be some hangups for Coulter relatively soon. Just if to this point it has already been a struggle along those lines. But as I said with Biko, love Coulter the character, love Teresa the character, and the narrators, them both, would love to see any of these final four, frankly, back in any sort of returning capacity. I'm a big fan of Alone season 8 overall, and looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. Again, seems like Clay is in a pretty crushing position as things stand right now, but by no stretch am I going to be taking anything for granted when nature is as wild as it is, especially when they're surrounded by grizzly bears 24/7, absolutely on the table for me that any of these four could end up as our eventual winner here. I think we're back to a 500,000 prize for the winner, which I'm guessing is plenty good for whoever ends up taking it down here. But with all of that said, I think that's pretty much going to do it for this episode of Alone coverage. I think we have three weeks proper left, and then potentially a reunion or some sort of clip show. I want to say I saw a mystery 12th episode on the Wikipedia page. It may just be the case that there are 12 regular episodes, and I'm an idiot, but not too far off either way from the end here. And I am guessing that the time will come where I find myself once again right around midnight saying, you know what, it's been too long, let's go talk some Alone. So when this season wraps up somewhere shortly thereafter, I will be back in here to break it all down and potentially talk through some more just kind of random Alone takes. Still need to talk through season 7 in a bit more detail than I have been able to get out there to this point. And who knows, maybe some rough kind of winner rankings once we know who is going to be joining that group. But until then, I believe that is going to do it. Again, been a slow last month or so here on the main feed for anyone who is still somehow with me here. Dom just moved. We have, however, been doing The Mole 2 over on the Patreon feed for anyone interested in that sort of thing. Patreon.com/Dom and Colin. And while you're there, I mean, we also have 100 plus, maybe 200 ish episodes, probably not 200. Don't oversell it, but many, many, many other patron episodes, full rewatches of Heroes versus Villains, China, Kageyan, Big Brother 7, Big Brother 10, Fiji, Guatemala, The Mole 1. I'm probably missing others, and various other bonus episodes that we have been building up over the last few years over there. So if you would like to get your fill of other things you may not have been able to hear on the main feed here during this little lull, patreon.com/Dom and Colin should hopefully be able to take care of you until Survivor returns. And I'm guessing, you know, we'll be back with other stuff even before the Survivor 41 premiere. For anyone who somehow found me through just like the alone world and made it to this point, I may be literally talking to zero people right now. That is well within the realm of possibility. But if you don't know, I am at Colin Stone over on Twitter, and me and a randomly British guy. He is randomly British. If that wasn't clear from the first time around, I don't know what else I would have thought that meant or what you would have thought that meant. It's getting late here. We talk all sorts of reality TV over here. So hit that subscribe button if you have not already done so. But I think that is finally going to do it for me, and I'm sure you guys are pretty happy for me to be done talking at this point as well. So I will talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the remaining episodes of Alone. Take care, gang.